When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Commanders held a joint practice with the Jets out in New Jersey today. Overwhelming majority of the coverage you've heard has been negative, I would say, or not good, at least. What do you think about that? 800-636-1067. Also, looking ahead to Saturday's game against the Jets, what are you looking to see? What do you want to see from the team? And also, who are you watching? Are you keeping an eye on? 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Let's get out to the phone lines and bring in Vic from Accokeek. Vic, what's going on?
Toby, what's good, baby?
How's it going, Vic?
I'm all right. So, I want to talk about body language first. From what I saw as a whole, and I can't say I saw all the film, the body language of the Jets looked more lively. They looked more intentional. They looked more ready to compete, or like they were in a competitive mind. You could see there were people on the Commanders team that had the same body language, but it wasn't everybody. Seeing some people running around, I feel like they were thinking, they didn't quite know. They weren't moving with a purpose and competing with a purpose. That's the first thing. That's understandable. As a football coach, I understand it. I've coached on winning teams. I've coached on teams that are not so good. But I understand it when you're changing a culture and the first time you actually play another team, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some film sessions where you got to say some things that people are not going to like. I remember the first time I got cussed out of the film session, my coach was giving me all football terminology with cuss words. So I'm pretty sure that's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. So, with that being said, though, there are things that we got to say, this is skill versus will, or this is capacity to understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Emmanuel Forbes is skill versus will. Emmanuel Forbes is fast enough. Emmanuel Forbes is athletic enough. You saw that he's willing to put the work in because he looks bigger. But Emmanuel Forbes' defensive back skills are lacking. He redirects no routes. And I'm using bad English. No routes. He doesn't get any hands on before 5 yards. He does not locate hips. He does not fight to the outside shoulder to give him a chance at the ball when it's getting to the receiver's bubble. At some point, your head has to go to passing. You have to turn your head to see where the ball is going. You've played the receiver long enough. He's in position every time to make a play, but he never put himself in the closing position to make a play. Now, either that's coaching or that's really just Emmanuel Forbes. One way or another, I got to find the next guy. I got to start looking at the next guy that's going to do it. That's why when I saw that he was not on the starting depth chart, I understood where they were already going with this.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave with this. There was a play when he got beat on the outside. There was I think it was a safety that walked in the box. And it was a shallow whiff on that side that he was on. But it was two receivers to that side. One was tight to the line, about 2x1 off the line, and one was in the slot. I won't say the slot. He was furthest off the ball. The outside receiver gave Emmanuel a smash route release. And they crossed, and Emmanuel kept his eyes to him. But we blitzed off the edge. So what I saw was the receiver that was 2x1 off the line, he's wide open. Why are we blitzing? I get it, Joe Witt. You want to show right now that we're aggressive. And you might ream Emmanuel Forbes out for saying, look, if we're going to go, you got to keep up your end of the bargain and take away this deep route. But I would need to also understand that we're out leveraged on that side, and you're sending one. How does that put us in position to keep the chains from moving?
Yeah.
I'm a real football coach, Toby. I'm paying attention to all of it. I don't care his name is Dan Quinn. I don't care his name is Joe Witt. I need to see it done right. Have a good evening.
Vic, appreciate it. Great phone call. Yeah, I thought he brought up some good points there. I want to hit on a couple of them. So, number one, his last point there, because we'll get back to Emmanuel Forbes, because I got some thoughts on him as well. His last point, I asked Linnell about this because this is what's concerning to me. We talk about marrying the back end and the front end. I don't know that you've necessarily heard that talk from the team this year. I don't know that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn have talked about that as much. Maybe they have, but I missed it. But I know Ron talked about that. I know Jack Del Rio talked about that. And it's just a defensive philosophy. Like, it's something that you need. It's part of a defense. Obviously, you need to match up your coverage with what you're trying to do up front. Now, last year, and with Jack Del Rio's scheme, and look, Vic's a football coach. I'm not. So I'm a much more casual observer than a football coach. But just from my gleaning, Jack Del Rio's style of defense was much more of a basic, I'm going to rush four, I'm going to keep the ball in front, even though they had coverage busts all the time. But it was much more of a, I'm going to rush four, I'm going to try to keep the ball in front, you're going to be able to move the ball between the 20s, I'll lock it down in the red zone, but I'm going to play fundamental sorts of defense. I'm just going to try to never have big mistakes, and for the most part, I'm going to just let you do your thing, and if you beat us, you beat us, sort of idea. And then we'll really lock in the red zone. That, to me, is kind of what they were doing. And the reason that they really fell apart last year is they got away from that, and they weren't able to marry the front and back ends because they wanted to be more aggressive. Remember, coming into the season last year, Jack Del Rio said, the number one thing I'm preaching is turnovers. Well, that defense never really created turnovers. It wasn't aggressive. There's much more passive style of defense, and in turn, it just wasn't a turnover-creating defense. It was much more solid. It tried not to give up the big plays, even though it did a lot of times, but it seemed like that's what it was. Again, this is much more amateur X's and O's than what someone like Vic could give you. But to me, with Joe Witt, it's pretty obvious by, one, how they put together the defense, the guys they signed, but even just going out to practice and seeing them, they're going to play much more aggressively. You know, you don't sign a guy like Frankie Louvu to sit back in coverage. Like, you don't sign a guy like Jeremy Chinn to sit back in coverage. You're going to use these guys all over the place, especially Louvu, though. Luvu's going to stand up. He's going to rush off the edge. He's going to rush up the gut. He's going to rush all over the place. You don't sign Luvu to be a coverage linebacker. That's why when they signed him, I know some people are like, oh, they got their Mike linebacker. No, he's not going to play Mike backer. He's not going to do that. He's going to be used as a defensive weapon. He's going to go all over the place. But to me, when you look at that style of defense, you need to have a secondary that can hold up, albeit sometimes for a shorter amount of time because they're going to bring the heat, but they've got to be able to hold up. And to his point, you can't have blitzing off one side just for the heck of blitzing and not have some sort of answer on the coverage on the back end. And from what I was watching today, it's just one clip, so I don't want to make an entire, you know, discourse about one clip, where it could be a blown coverage, it could be just bad defense, it could be a perfect call against that defense, someone missed the sign, whatever. You get how it is. It's one play can have one multitude of screw-ups, or sometimes the other team's just better. But it looked like they were blitzing, and off the right side, Garrett Wilson kind of just sits down in a zone, and all of a sudden, he's 6 yards open. Emmanuel Forbes comes up for a tackle. He evades him, and all of a sudden, he's running wild, just juking dudes left and right. I'm curious whether they're going to be able to marry up the back end with the front end, because they're going to play aggressive up front, and I don't think the secondary is very good. I just don't think they're very good. And we can say whether that's Forbes, whatever with Forbes. We'll get to him more in just a little bit. I don't think St. Juice is like a top level corner. I wouldn't say that he's not a starting caliber corner, but I don't know that he's like a good starting caliber corner. And at that, who's your number one? Michael Davis? Michael Davis was barely a starting level corner for the Chargers. They're not horrible. They're NFL players. But if that's your starting corners, that's a little bit scary. I think Sanra still's a dude, but he's a rookie, so I don't want to throw unrealistic expectations that he's going to be Mike Hilton out the chute. So Sanra still, I think, is going to be fine, but that's also something that could be a little bit of time. It wouldn't surprise me if it takes some time to adjust. You get behind those corners, and it's even more dire. You look on the back end at safety. I like what you've got in Jeremy Chinn. But Derek Forrest, he's not playing a whole lot. He's been injured, I know. Quan Martin, we'll see. I know they like him at free safety, it seems like, but we'll see with him. And Chin's interesting. But I just don't know that if you're trying to marry up a more aggressive scheme up front with the coverage guys you've got in the back, I don't know. I just don't know. I think that Witt and Quinn are smart enough to adjust. So if it's something where early on, say they come out in the Tampa game and they're ultra-aggressive and their guys can't hold up in the coverage on the back end, I think they're smart enough to understand, okay, maybe we try it one more week and they'll adjust accordingly. So I'm not worried that all of a sudden it's just going to be a lost season because of that. But I am a little interested to see whether that secondary can hold up well enough to play that style of a defense, because it should work out both ways. Like, if you want to help out your secondary, you want to know the best way to make it easier for Forbes to work on the outside, don't make him cover for 4 seconds. Get pressure on the quarterback. And I think they're going to try to do that. But he's also going to have to be able to get some hands on a receiver. He can't just get beat instantly off the line. Look, we saw Terry had a nice play down the left sideline a couple of practices ago. I think it was about a week ago or so. Forbes was on him. Forbes didn't touch him. I mean, it was like Terry was running the route on air because there was no one there until, you know, he made some nice recovery. He was there, but it was a beautiful ball from Jaden. Terry caught it for a touchdown. You're supposed to be pressing. Get your hands on the guy or something. Reroute him, something. Let's talk a little bit more about Emmanuel Forbes, because he's puzzling. He really is puzzling. I want to give you some of my thoughts on Forbes, as well as some of the guys I'm keeping an eye on and what I want to see in the preseason opener on Saturday. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. More Commanders talk and Emmanuel Forbes talk next here on The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Usually, people consider the number 13 lucky, right, Donald? I don't know that 13 for Washington's getting very lucky this year.
Yeah, usually 13 is unlucky.
Oh, well, perfectly. Then he is unlucky.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the correct number right there.
I don't know a whole lot about any of these things, to be honest with you. So, bad reference by me. My bad. Maybe we just need to restart this, but whatever. We got to talk about Emmanuel Forbes. You want to talk about it, 800-636-1067. He's one of the guys we want to watch on Saturday, right? I mean, he's a first-round pick from last season, and he's someone that a lot of people are losing faith in. You heard it from Linnell. You heard it from Vic. You go all over Twitter. People are talking about it. I think Jets Twitter was going crazy today because Garrett Wilson was eating his lunch. Not surprising, by the way. Garrett Wilson is awesome. But either way, it's dire straits now for unlucky number 13, Emmanuel Forbes. Toby Altizer taking you up till 10 o'clock here on Overtime. Again, what and who were you watching in the preseason opener on Saturday? 800-636-1067 MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. But let's dive into this. With Emmanuel Forbes, I think it's interesting because last year, one thing that I hate that we do at times, fans, media, just in general, is when someone's overdrafted, which has happened a lot because Ron Rivera made it his hallmark that he loved to overdraft guys. And it was incredibly frustrating. But when someone's overdrafted, people love to go like, this dude wouldn't have even been drafted. Like, come on. Forbes was probably getting drafted at the latest middle of the second round. I think that's at the latest. I think he was a late first round kind of guy. He was a little bit of a late riser, if you remember. I mean, heck, this is an easy one, though, by the way, Donald. Like, you want to fix that draft? Just draft Christian Gonzalez. Like, that's a pretty easy one. To me, it feels like last year with Ron, if you recall, there was that video they put out. I think it was for Commander's Log. And it's a video of Ron driving in to the draft before, you know, in the morning or whatever, in the afternoon, ahead of day one of the NFL draft. And he goes, that corner's there. If Forbes is there, I think we'll really like our pick. I don't think they expected Christian Gonzalez there. But part of me feels like it was like, we've already filmed the content. Let's just go ahead and take him. It's like they made their mind up and they couldn't pivot when like Christian Gonzalez is there. Forbes. Like the craziness that was last year. Regardless, he was getting drafted at worst middle of the second round. This is a guy that was going to get taken early in the draft, top 50 picks. So the idea that he just doesn't have the talent is foolish because he has the talent. But I don't know what the heck happened. When you watch Forbes in college, I think the number one word that you would use to describe him is instinctual. When you watch how he drives on the football, you watch some of the picks that he makes, it's very instinctual. I think of the one in particular, I think it was the Kentucky game where they ran some sort of play action and they were going to throw it out to the other flat and he read it and, like I said, instinctual, runs up, picks it, touchdown, pick six going the other way. I haven't seen any of that from Forbes in the NFL. Not just the pick six, the instincts. You know, this is a guy that was always slight. We knew that. You could see that when he was drafted. He's a slight guy. And by the way, if they're saying he gained 15 pounds this offseason, I'll take the under. I would probably take the under on 10 pounds, by the way. I think he probably gained a little bit. I don't doubt that he put on a little bit of weight, but it's not as if he looks like a totally different guy. He doesn't look 15 pounds heavier. But regardless, I haven't seen any instinctual plays from him. And that was part of the reason you drafted this kid. He's got speed. He's got length. The height or the size was always going to be an issue. And I thought it was interesting. Linnell mentioned the physicality and whether he's ever going to be physical enough at corner. That never worries me because the best corners that you can think of that are cover guys, they never struck me as overly physical. Certain of them were, but like no one's going to go like Deion Sanders was a physical guy. I mean, he's bigger than Forbes, but it's not as if he was trying to be uber physical. He'd make some moves on a receiver and get his hands on him. Like there are certain guys, but for the most part, you're a good cover corner. I don't think of Jair Alexander up in Green Bay. I think he's a good cover corner. He's a smaller guy. I don't think of him as physical, right? I just don't. Sauce Gardner would be a physical type corner. But when you draft a guy that looks like Emmanuel Forbes, you don't think, okay, I'm going to get a physical corner. The physicality doesn't bother me. I just don't think he's ever going to be a physical corner. But when you draft a guy like Emmanuel Forbes, you need a guy that plays with instincts. So I don't know what it was about the scheme or the way that he was used or the coverages they were calling that removed those instincts from his game. Because it just doesn't even seem like he drives on the ball anymore. It seems like you took this guy. You know what he looks like? He looks like someone that you just transitioned from wide receiver to corner and has never played the position before. So he's got the long arms, he's got the speed, but he doesn't know how to play the position. That's what he looks like. Because it's clear that the talent is there. If you watch him move, he's fluid, he's got the ability, but he just doesn't look like he's played corner ever before. And so, what happened from the guy that had the most pick sixes in college football history to a guy that I'm now saying has no instincts to play corner at the NFL level? What the heck happened? And it has to be a coaching thing to go along with some things with Forbes. And I don't even know, like, is he broken? Because, like, last season clearly was bad. And what they did last year, like, did they screw him up so bad that he can't be fixed now? Because at times he looks fine when you watch him out there at training camp. At times he looks fine. And then other times, dudes just run right by him. So I don't know what the heck happened, because this is a first-round pick. He's got the talent of a first-round pick. He's got the ability to do it. But then he goes out there, and sometimes you're like, what the heck? It doesn't look like a cornerback that understands what's going on.
You know, it almost, like, as I'm hearing you talk, it almost reminds me, you know, I'm a basketball guy. It reminds me of, like, Markelle Fultz with the Sixers. First overall pick, I should say. And, you know, it was just like his time with the Sixers. You're like, what the heck happened to him? He had that, like, hitch in his shot. It almost kind of reminds me of just, I just randomly thought about that when you were saying that type of comparison.
Well, let me go back. Let me see if I can find this. If I recall, early in the season last year, and I think this was a preseason game, I think there were a couple points where you saw him play instinctually. I'm just trying to remember if I can find my notes. I feel like there was a play or two where he jumped the ball in the flat or something early on. It's almost as if putting him one-on-one with A.J. Brown and putting him one-on-one with D.J. Moore and getting cooked just screwed with him so badly that he can no longer deal with it. Because, like, he's got the ability. I can't stress that at all. Like, he's got the ability, and somehow it just seems to have left him.
You think maybe, you know, obviously we can't enter his mind, but last season, you know, him getting benched, and you think that maybe it could be an ego thing, or, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to think about it.
I think there is a little bit of an ego thing, because I think there also have been points where maybe the effort hasn't been 100%. And so, you know, there are questions about that. But it just feels like something has gone awry, and you'd think it'd be fixable, but sometimes it just isn't. Sometimes guys just, for whatever reason, can't seem to figure it out, can't seem to get it going, because... Yeah, it's just really disappointing that you go from a guy who was a first-round pick, and I think he was worthy of at least a second-round pick, if nothing else, to a guy that, you know, Linnell's saying, I don't know if he's playable, Vic saying you might want to, you know, move on from him, and I don't necessarily disagree with those guys. I think he's going to stick around, you know, just in terms of what's actually going to happen. I think he's going to be on this football team. But do you feel confident with Emmanuel Forbes on anyone right now? And I'm not talking like CeeDee Lamb or someone like that. I'm just talking anybody. Like, I don't know that I do. But what happened from Mississippi State to now that we're here? It's been one bad season. You know how many guys have had bad rookie seasons and still been fine? I don't know. It's something that needs to be fixed. You'd hope that Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn were the guys to do it. They've had a track record of... You know, Trayvon Diggs. I thought Trayvon Diggs was a scrub early in his career. Remember when he was like talking trash to Terry and Terry just dusted him? Well, they're just a scrub. Dan Quinn turned him in a pretty good corner, right? You think about Deron Bland. Who the heck was Deron Bland? And then all of a sudden, Deron Bland is setting records in the NFL for picks. So that's what Emmanuel Forbes is supposed to be, that kind of guy. No different body frame, but that's what he's supposed to be. Hopefully he can turn it around, but... He was someone we were talking about in the break, Donald, that we wanted to be the guy that was like, okay, here's your bounce-back player for the Commanders. And at times you feel like decent about that, because you'll see you know, reports every now and then he's doing something well. But then all of a sudden, numerous and plenteous reports come out that he's getting beat by McLaurin. He's getting trashed by Garrett Wilson. It doesn't look good here. He's not helping here. I don't know. Maybe they're not going to move on from him because he was a first rounder last season. But it's getting dire pretty quick for number 13. What and who are you looking out for in the preseason opener on Saturday? 800-636-1067. I got some other things that I want to look at. Also, some players that I'm watching. I caught up with Jeremy Chin. We'll play that audio for you coming up in just a little bit as well. And in the final hour of the show, we'll play a little buy or sell around the NFL as the preseason gets underway. More to come here on Overtime on The Fan. Welcome back. It's Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up till 10 o'clock. Talking about the Commanders. Preseason opener comes up on Saturday. What are some things that you're looking for? Who are some players you're watching out for? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can tweet at me at Toby underscore Altizer as well. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll play a little buy or sell and some other NFL storylines. Also, still to come, Jeremy Chin. I caught up with him at practice on Tuesday. We'll play that audio coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. But some of the other things that I'm looking for in this preseason opener, some of the what I'm looking for. There's three things. I already mentioned one of them. How's the secondary going to look? Because you got to be able to marry up the back end with the front end, and I'm not particularly confident in the back end. So that's something that I'm interested to see. How does the secondary as a whole look, whether we're talking Forbes, whether we're talking BSJ, Sanra Still, Michael Davis, even talking Chin and some of the other guys. How do those dudes look on the back end? On the offensive side of the ball, there are two things that stand out to me that I want to see. And I don't know how long the starters are going to play. Like I talked about with Jaden, I kind of feel like they'll play at least two series. J.P. Finley earlier today was saying maybe just one series. Regardless, they're going to play, so we'll see. I'm interested whether Coleman will play and Cosme and those guys. Hopefully they play. But either way, how does the O-line look? Does it look serviceable? Because that's the concerning thing for me. I've talked about this all offseason after we've kind of gotten to the point now where rosters are essentially getting set, you know, going into the season now in training camp and everything. I don't love the offensive line. And the fact that Coleman has come out and played well and to the point that they're considering starting him and he was listed at the starting left tackle on their first unofficial depth chart, okay, it makes me feel a little bit better about the offensive line, but still not great. So I don't necessarily need the offensive line to be a great unit because I don't think they're going to be a great unit. But are they at least going to be serviceable? Because last year, and frankly, I was listening to Grant a little bit earlier, and I disagree with Grant when he was talking about the offensive line. And I get what he was saying, that like Bieniemy didn't help out the offensive line, Howell didn't help out the offensive line. And I get the metrics said that they were better. That offensive line last year sucked. I don't care. You can mince words. The offensive line last year was terrible. We can talk about who deserves the blame. The offensive line was terrible. If you want to stand up for one unit, the offensive line for last season would not be the one I would stand up for. It just wasn't good. They were not serviceable. In most cases, they were not. Were they maybe better than they got credit for? I have no idea. And to be honest with you, I don't care. They were terrible. They were bad. Are they going to be better this year? I don't know. I would hope so. I really like the signing of Biotish. I think Cosme's going to be good. Coleman being a revelation would be really nice. But left guard, Allegretti, I've talked about this before. If Ron Rivera made the move that Peters made, we'd be killing him right now. Just take the fandom for Peters and the love for him out of it just real quick. Just think about this. If this happened last season, going into the year if I said, all right, starting left guard, they signed the Chiefs backup. That's your answer? Not to say that Allegretti's going to be bad. I hope he's good. I hope he proves me wrong. But he was a backup. I know Tooney's awesome. Tooney's a really good left guard. So I'm not saying that Allegretti had to start over him. But the fact is, you signed a backup left guard to be your starting left guard. I don't know. Doesn't exactly give me lots of confidence. Your right tackle was one of the worst offensive linemen in football last year. I don't know. Doesn't exactly exude confidence for me. Can they at least be serviceable? Because I think Jaden's a good enough quarterback, and seriously, a good enough quarterback already, that he's going to be able to get the ball out. He's going to get it to the right guy. I don't think he's going to take sacks all over the place. And if the pocket breaks down quick, I think he obviously can run. But I think it's something where he's going to be able to get through his reads, one to two, check down. You know, I think he's going to be able to do those sorts of things. So I think he's going to help out the offensive line a lot. I don't think the offensive line has to be absolutely stellar to still have a functional offense. But if the same offense from last year shows up, I don't think it's going to be very good regardless of who the quarterback was. It'd be better than last year just because of Jaden's ability to get the ball out quick. But I think that I want to see if the offensive line is serviceable. The other thing that I want to see on the offensive side of the ball is who's the other receiver besides Terry? And you want to say Jahan, and it probably will be Jahan, but he still has to prove himself. And I think, you know, he's going to be on the depth chart as the number two receiver, and he's going to start the year as the number two receiver. But even behind him, who's the number three guy? Is it Alamide Zaccheaus? He's looked solid. When does Luke McCaffrey step in, and how does he look early on? Because that's the tough part. Like, I think Luke McCaffrey can be, you know, a big contributor second half of the season. I don't know that he's going to be a big help right away. Because you think about rookies coming in, helping out right away, that'd be great. But that's often, a lot of times, a little bit of a too high of an expectation. If you expect him to come in and start helping you by week 10, that's a little bit different. I think that's reasonable. I don't know that that's going to happen right away for him. But who steps in? Is it Deami Brown? Now, you're looking at that third option. What are you going to get from those receivers? Because Terry, you know, is going to be really good. Jahan, I'm not sure what you're going to get out of Jahan, but he's still going to be at least your second best receiver. Who's that third guy? Is it Zaccheaus? Is it McCaffrey? Is it Deami Brown? Is it Byron Pringle? Who is it that kind of steps up and plays well? And heck, Bryson Tremaine's been playing well. Maybe he stands out. I don't think he'd be your third receiver, but I think there's a real shot that he could make the initial 53 the way that he's been playing in camp. So we'll see. I think I want to see the receiving core behind Terry, and I guess you could throw Jahan in there. How do the rest of those guys look? A couple of other guys I want to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that next, as well as hear what Jeremy Chin had to tell me on Tuesday. All that coming up here on The Fan next. It's overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. Just over an hour left here on overtime. What are you looking for? Who are you watching? Preseason opener on Saturday, 800-636-1067. Also, we'll hear from Jeremy Chin in this segment. A couple of guys that I'm going to keep an eye out for. Jaden Daniels is obviously at the top of the list. See how he looks against that Jets defense. I'm intrigued. I've been super impressed by what I've seen out of training camp. I'm curious to see how it transfers into some live action against a real defense that is a pretty good defense. So I'm intrigued to see how Jaden does. I think he's going to do well, but we'll see. This is our first real chance at real football to see what Jaden looks like. Again, I think maybe two series. Donald, how long do you think he'll play in the game?
Oh, man. I'd probably give him two, maybe three series tops. I'm in that same. I want him to play more, but realistically, probably two or three series.
I think, yeah, probably two or three series. And then what do you think? Maybe like a half against the Dolphins? Are you thinking like a quarter and a half?
I think it depends on how he's performing, but yeah, maybe tops like a quarter and a half or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how Daniels looks in real action because he's been uber impressive in training camp and in shorts and a t-shirt. Now I'll throw the pads on, let's see how he looks. Coleman, I'm intrigued if he plays. If he plays, then I really want to see what he looks like because if you can find your starting quarterback in the draft, especially at number two, and he can be a difference maker, that's obviously going to be the cornerstone of the draft. But if Brandon Coleman can be a starting left tackle, it doesn't even have to be a great starting left tackle, just a starting left tackle that is average, you got to feel really good about a draft then for where you got him and what he's going to be able to do. So I'm interested in Coleman. I want to see Ben Sinnott. I want to see what Sinnott looks like. He's pretty much struggled throughout camp. And I had some high hopes for him in the season. And tight ends generally take a little bit longer to acclimate to the NFL. It seemed like that used to be a thing with receivers, but now these receivers come in and they're awesome right away. Tight ends maybe haven't caught up as much, although Laporta was really good last year, so we'll see. But I'm interested to see how Sinnott does this season because, you know, Zach Ertz has looked really good in camp. Zach Ertz is old. By NFL standards, Zach Ertz is old. I don't know that you can count on him for all 17 games. Who's going to step up in his stead? Is it going to be John Bates? Cole Turner? I would love to see a Cole Turner, some Cole Turner action. We'll see. But I don't know. Ben Sinnott, I think, has an opportunity ahead of him, but he struggled in training camp. We'll see if he can get up to speed. I'm interested to see what he looks like. Defensive side of the ball, where he talked about Emmanuel Forbes, I'm really curious to see what you get out of him. Real live action. He's been cooked in camp plenty by some good receivers. What do you see when the pads come on and he has to bring a guy to the ground and all that stuff? Does he look a little bit better in real live action? I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see with him. And Jamin Davis. I want to see what Jamin looks like because this dude has been working almost exclusively. I want to say almost exclusively. I personally haven't seen him work with the linebackers. I've seen him basically only work with the edge rushers. And if he's working only as an edge rusher, I'm interested to see in this game, I'd assume he's going to work as an edge. I don't know if I see a route to him on the roster, if that's going to be the case. I think it's getting real slim at that point if he's going to try and make it as an edge rusher. So I'm interested to see what he looks like against the Jets in the preseason opener. Pretty cool opportunity on Tuesday out of training camp. I got a chance to talk with new commander safety Jeremy Chinn. Here's my conversation with the former Panther, Jeremy Chinn.
Toby Altizer here with commander safety Jeremy Chinn. How's your training camp been going?
Oh, man, it's been great, man. It's been great. Feeling good. Team's coming together, man.
What excited you most about coming to Washington?
The people here. The people here, the style of defense that these coaches have coached, the knowledge and everything.
You mentioned the style. You're a guy that's versatile, can play a bunch of different ways. What are you looking to? What are you most...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. It's overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up till 10 o'clock. Talking about the Commanders, preseason opener comes up on Saturday. What are some things that you're looking for? Who are some players you're watching out for? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer as well. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll play a little buy or sell and some other NFL storylines. Also, still to come, Jeremy Chinn. I caught up with him at practice on Tuesday. We'll play that audio coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. But some of the other things that I'm looking for in this preseason opener, some of the what I'm looking for. There's three things. I already mentioned one of them. How's the secondary going to look? Because you got to be able to marry up the back end with the front end, and I'm not particularly confident in the back end. So that's something that I'm interested to see. How does the secondary as a whole look, whether we're talking Forbes, whether we're talking BSJ, Sanra Still, Michael Davis, even talking Chinn and some of the other guys. How do those dudes look on the back end? On the offensive side of the ball, there are two things that stand out to me that I want to see. And I don't know how long the starters are going to play. Like I talked about with Jaden, I kind of feel like they'll play at least two series. J.P. Finley earlier today was saying maybe just one series. Regardless, they're going to play, so we'll see. I'm interested whether Coleman will play and Cosme and those guys. Hopefully they play. But either way, how does the O-line look? Does it look serviceable? Because that's the concerning thing for me. I've talked about this all off season after we've kind of gotten to the point now where rosters are essentially getting set, you know, going into the season now in training camp and everything. I don't love the offensive line. And the fact that Coleman has come out and played well and to the point that they're considering starting him and he was listed at the starting left tackle on their first unofficial depth chart, okay, it makes me feel a little bit better about the offensive line, but still not great. So I don't necessarily need the offensive line to be a great unit because I don't think they're going to be a great unit. But are they at least going to be serviceable? Because last year, and frankly, I was listening to Grant a little bit earlier, and I disagree with Grant when he was talking about the offensive line. And I get what he was saying, that like Bieniemy didn't help out the offensive line, Howell didn't help out the offensive line, and I get the metrics said that they were better. that offensive line last year sucked. I don't care. You can mince words. The offensive line last year was terrible. We can talk about who deserves the blame. The offensive line was terrible. If you want to stand up for one unit, the offensive line for last season would not be the one I would stand up for. It just wasn't good. They were not serviceable. In most cases, they were not. Were they maybe better than they got credit for? I have no idea. And to be honest with you, I don't care. They were terrible. They were bad. Are they going to be better this year? I don't know. I would hope so. I really like the signing of Biadasz. I think Cosme's going to be good. Coleman being a revelation would be really nice. But left guard, Allegretti, I've talked about this before. If Ron Rivera made the move that Peters made, we'd be killing him right now. Just take the fandom for Peters and the love for him out of it just real quick. Just think about this. If this happened last season going into the year, if I said, all right, starting left guard, they signed the Chiefs backup. That's your answer? Not to say that Allegretti's going to be bad. I hope he's good. I hope he proves me wrong. But he was a backup. I know Tooney's awesome. Tooney's a really good left guard. So I'm not saying that Allegretti had to start over him. But the fact is you signed a backup left guard to be your starting left guard. I don't know. Doesn't exactly give me lots of confidence. Your right tackle was one of the worst offensive linemen in football last year. I don't know. Doesn't exactly exude confidence for me. Can they at least be serviceable? Because I think Jaden's a good enough quarterback, and seriously, a good enough quarterback already, that he's going to be able to get the ball out. He's going to get it to the right guy. I don't think he's going to take sacks all over the place. And if the pocket breaks down quick, I think he obviously can run. But I think it's something where he's going to be able to get through his reads, one to two, check down. You know, I think he's going to be able to do those sorts of things. So I think he's going to help out the offensive line a lot. I don't think the offensive line has to be absolutely stellar to still have a functional offense. But if the same offense from last year shows up, I don't think it's going to be very good regardless of who the quarterback was. It'd be better than last year just because of Jaden's ability to get the ball out quick. But I think that I want to see if the offensive line is serviceable. The other thing that I want to see on the offensive side of the ball is who's the other receiver besides Terry? And you want to say Jahan, and it probably will be Jahan, but he still has to prove himself. And I think, you know, he's going to be on the depth chart as the number two receiver, and he's going to start the year as the number two receiver. But even behind him, who's the number three guy? Is it Olamide Zaccheaus? He looks solid. When does Luke McCaffrey step in? And how does he look early on? Because that's the tough part. Like, I think Luke McCaffrey can be, you know, a big contributor second half of the season. I don't know that he's going to be a big help right away. Because you think about rookies coming in, helping out right away, that'd be great. But that's often a lot of times a little bit of too high of an expectation. If you expect him to come in and start helping you by week 10, that's a little bit different. I think that's reasonable. I don't know that that's going to happen right away for him. But who steps in? Is it Deami Brown? Now you're looking at that third option. What are you going to get from those receivers? Because Terry, you know, is going to be really good. Jahan, I'm not sure what you're going to get out of Jahan, but he's still going to be at least your second best receiver. Who's that third guy? Is it Zaccheaus? Is it McCaffrey? Is it Deami Brown? Is it Byron Pringle? Who is it that kind of steps up and plays well? And heck, Bryson Tremaine's been playing well. Maybe he stands out. I don't think he'd be your third receiver, but I think there's a real shot that he could make the initial 53 the way that he's been playing in camp. So we'll see. I think I want to see the receiving core behind Terry, and I guess you could throw Jahan in there. How do the rest of those guys look? Couple of other guys I want to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that next, as well as hear what Jeremy Chin had to tell me on Tuesday. All that coming up here on The Fan next. It's overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. Just over an hour left here on overtime. What are you looking for? Who are you watching? Preseason opener on Saturday, 800-636-1067. Also, we'll hear from Jeremy Chinn in this segment. A couple of guys that I'm going to keep an eye out for. Jaden Daniels is obviously at the top of the list. See how he looks against that Jets defense. I'm intrigued. I've been super impressed by what I've seen out at training camp. I'm curious to see how it transfers into some live action against the real defense that is a pretty good defense. So I'm intrigued to see how Jaden does. I think he's going to do well. But we'll see. This is our first real chance at real football to see what Jaden looks like. Again, I think maybe two series. Donald, how long do you think he'll play in the game?
Oh, man. I'd probably give him two, maybe three series tops. I'm in that same. I want him to play more, but realistically, probably two or three series.
I think, yeah, probably two or three series. And then what do you think? Maybe like a half against the Dolphins? Are you thinking like a quarter and a half?
I think it depends on how he's performing. But, yeah, maybe tops like a quarter and a half or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how Daniels looks in real action because he's been uber impressive in training camp and in shorts and a T-shirt. Now I'll throw the pads on. Let's see how he looks. Coleman, I'm intrigued if he plays. If he plays, then I really want to see what he looks like because if you can find your starting quarterback in the draft, especially at number two, and he can be a difference maker, that's obviously going to be the cornerstone of the draft. But if Brandon Coleman can be a starting left tackle, it doesn't even have to be a great starting left tackle, just a starting left tackle that is average, you got to feel really good about a draft then. For where you got him, and what he's going to be able to do. So I'm interested in Coleman. I want to see Ben Sinnott. I want to see what Sinnott looks like. He's pretty much struggled throughout camp. And I had some high hopes for him in the season. And tight ends generally take a little bit longer to acclimate to the NFL. It seemed like that used to be a thing with receivers. But now these receivers come in and they're awesome right away. Tight ends maybe haven't caught up as much. Although Laporta was really good last year. So we'll see. But I'm interested to see how Sinnott does this season because, you know, Zach Ertz has looked really good in camp. Zach Ertz is old. By NFL standards, Zach Ertz is old. I don't know that you can count on him for all 17 games. Who's going to step up in his stead? Is it going to be John Bates? Cole Turner? I would love to see a Cole Turner, some Cole Turner action. We'll see. But I don't know. Ben Sinnott, I think, has an opportunity ahead of him, but he struggled in training camp. We'll see if he can get up to speed. I'm interested to see what he looks like. Defensive side of the ball, where he talked about Emmanuel Forbes. I'm really curious to see what you get out of him. Real live action. He's been cooked in camp plenty by some good receivers. What do you see when the pads come on and he has to bring a guy to the ground and all that stuff? Does he look a little bit better in real live action? I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see with him. And Jamin Davis. I want to see what Jamin looks like because this dude has been working almost exclusively. I want to say almost exclusively, I personally haven't seen him work with the linebackers. I've seen him basically only work with the edge rushers. And if he's working only as an edge rusher, I'm interested to see in this game, I'd assume he's going to work as an edge. I don't know if I see a route to him on the roster, if that's going to be the case. I think it's getting real slim at that point if he's going to try and make it as an edge rusher. So I'm interested to see what he looks like against the Jets in the preseason opener. Pretty cool opportunity on Tuesday out of training camp. I got a chance to talk with new Commander safety Jeremy Chinn. Here's my conversation with the former Panther, Jeremy Chinn.
Toby Altizer here with Commander safety Jeremy Chinn. How's your training camp been going?
Oh, man, it's been great, man. It's been great. Feeling good. Team's coming together, man.
What excited you most about coming to Washington?
The people here. People here, the style of defense that these coaches have coached, the knowledge and everything.
You mentioned the style. You're a guy that's versatile, can play a bunch of different ways. What are you looking to? What are you most excited? I don't want you to give away the X's and O's, but like, yeah. What kind of roles could we see you in this year?
You know, you just gotta stay tuned, I guess. But like I said, man, I'm feeling good. Body's feeling great. Defense is coming along well, so. I'm super excited, man. This defense is a run and hit style. So as long as everybody's on the same page and we all are communicating well and we're all playing fast, and yeah, we're going to be special on that side of the ball.
You mentioned the people here. Coach Quinn obviously brings in a lot of cachet, and people love being around him. Coach Joe Witt, what's it been like working with those guys?
It's been great, man. The communication has been great. Just being able to, you know, talk to each other. We talked to Joe. Joe talked to me, and I really feel like we're getting on the same page with everything.
Bobby Wagner coming over, a Hall of Famer in the future. What's it like being on a defense with him and just picking his brain and finding pearls of wisdom from him?
Yeah, man, it's great. Really just being able to be around him on the football field, but also, you know, in the weight room and in the meeting rooms, just kind of see how he carries himself and how seriously and I guess how he goes about his business, man. It's great to be around.
I think a lot of fans are excited about you and then also Frankie Luvu coming over from Carolina and what you guys bring in terms of versatility. Can you talk to what kind of player Frankie is? Because I think a lot of people are excited about that signing, but they maybe haven't been able to watch him as much. What can they expect when Frankie Luvu takes the field?
Oh, man. you asked me about Frankie Luvu. I'm going to tell you, he's one of the greats to ever do it. But, you know, he's my brother, man. I love playing with him. I love watching him play. He plays at one speed, man, and I think he'll fit perfectly in this defense.
One more for you. We got to ask about the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. What have been your impressions of the rookie?
Man, he can throw the rock, man. He's poised back there. He's calm. I know on the defensive side of the ball, we try to show him different looks and try to, you know, he's trying to play around with him a little bit, but he handles everything really well. He's got a great deep ball, and he's super competitive.
I love that he talked about the run and hit style of defense. I'm excited for Jeremy Chinn. I think he's going to be a really good player for this team, and they're going to use him in a variety of ways. I was just interested to see if maybe he would tell us some different things that he would do, and he's like, you're going to have to tune in and see. Because I think you're going to see him all over the place. I think you're going to see him blitzing off the edge. I think you're going to see him as maybe a deeper safety. I think you're going to see him in the box as like a nickel-style linebacker. And just from seeing him in terms of like a size, he's not big enough to be like a true linebacker, Donald, but he's close. So he's a big dude. And the other thing that, you know, I was out there, Grant Paulson was near me. I told Grant, you got to look at this dude's neck. He's got, you know how like Kawhi Leonard has the, what is this? The lats? Is that
the
lats?
Yeah, like the traps or, yeah, right in your neck. Yeah.
You know how they got those crazy, he almost has like a neck that just like is so, you've seen that picture of that guy where the people were making fun of how wide his neck was. It was almost like that sort of thing where it's just like it goes head to shoulders. Like it's not that he doesn't have a neck. It's that it's so built. And I think it obviously works out well for a football player so you can kind of hold your head in position while you're getting hit. But I think he's going to be a fantastic addition for this team. And I think you hear like he's one of those guys, I think, along with a Bobby Wagner and some of the guys on the coaching staff that is here because of a Dan Quinn. I think he wanted to work with these guys and be able to be on the team. And I think it's cool, too, hearing these guys. You can ask anybody, offense or defense. When they're talking about Bobby Wagner, they're so fired up that he's a part of this football team. And it's funny because he just looks like the old man that's still playing, but he's almost like a coach. And everyone else is out there generally in their shorts, and maybe they're wearing long. Bobby Wagner's out there in like sweatpants and a hoodie and looks like a dude. Like he just looks like, all right, another training camp. We're going through it again. But I love the leadership that he has shown. And he's a future Hall of Famer. But I love the leadership he's shown for the guys on the defensive side of the ball. But the coolest thing that I've seen, and you see pictures of it on social media, is he's always talking to Jaden. And Jaden's always talking to him. And I don't think Bobby is someone that is going to purposely seek out Jaden. I think that was something where Jaden went out of his way to seek out Bobby to try and get those pearls of wisdom and get better. So I think that's really cool. Final hour of overtime coming up. I want to do a little buy or sell around the National Football League. We'll do that next here on The Fan. It's overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. Just over an hour left here on overtime. What are you looking for? Who are you watching? Preseason opener on Saturday, 800-636-1067. Also, we'll hear from Jeremy Chinn in this segment. A couple of guys that I'm going to keep an eye out for. Jaden Daniels is obviously at the top of the list. See how he looks against that Jets defense. I'm intrigued. I've been super impressed by what I've seen out of training camp. I'm curious to see how it transfers into some live action against a real defense that is a pretty good defense. So I'm intrigued to see how Jaden does. I think he's going to do well, but we'll see. This is our first real chance at real football to see what Jaden looks like. Again, I think maybe two series. Donald, how long do you think he'll play in the game?
Oh, man. I'd probably give him two, maybe three series tops. I'm in that same. I want him to play more, but realistically, probably two or three series.
I think, yeah, probably two or three series. And then what do you think? Maybe like a half against the Dolphins? Are you thinking like a quarter and a half?
I think it depends on how he's performing, but yeah, maybe tops like a quarter and a half or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how Daniels looks in real action because he's been uber impressive in training camp and in shorts and a t-shirt. Now I'll throw the pads on, let's see how he looks. Coleman, I'm intrigued if he plays. If he plays, then I really want to see what he looks like because if you can find your starting quarterback in the draft, especially at number two, and he can be a difference maker, that's obviously going to be the cornerstone of the draft. But if Brandon Coleman can be a starting left tackle, it doesn't even have to be a great starting left tackle, just a starting left tackle that is average, you got to feel really good about a draft then for where you got him and what he's going to be able to do. So I'm interested in Coleman. I want to see Ben Sinnott. I want to see what Sinnott looks like. He's pretty much struggled throughout camp. And I had some high hopes for him in the season. And tight ends generally take a little bit longer to acclimate to the NFL. It seemed like that used to be a thing with receivers, but now these receivers come in and they're awesome right away. Tight ends maybe haven't caught up as much, although Laporta was really good last year, so we'll see. But I'm interested to see how Sinnott does this season because, you know, Zach Ertz has looked really good in camp. Zach Ertz is old. By NFL standards, Zach Ertz is old. I don't know that you can count on him for all 17 games. Who's going to step up in his stead? Is it going to be John Bates? Cole Turner? I would love to see a Cole Turner, some Cole Turner action. We'll see. But I don't know. Ben Sinnott, I think, has an opportunity ahead of him, but he struggled in training camp. We'll see if he can get up to speed. I'm interested to see what he looks like. Defensive side of the ball, where he talked about Emmanuel Forbes. I'm really curious to see what you get out of him. Real live action. He's been cooked in camp plenty by some good receivers. What do you see when the pads come on and he has to bring a guy to the ground and all that stuff? Does he look a little bit better in real live action? I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see with him. And Jamin Davis. I want to see what Jamin looks like because this dude has been working almost exclusively. I want to say almost exclusively. I personally haven't seen him work with the linebackers. I've seen him basically only work with the edge rushers. And if he's working only as an edge rusher, I'm interested to see in this game, I'd assume he's going to work as an edge. I don't know if I see a route to him on the roster, if that's going to be the case. I think it's getting real slim at that point if he's going to try and make it as an edge rusher. So I'm interested to see what he looks like against the Jets in the preseason opener. Pretty cool opportunity on Tuesday out of training camp. I got a chance to talk with new commander safety Jeremy Chinn. Here's my conversation with the former Panther, Jeremy Chinn.
Toby Altizer here with commander safety Jeremy Chinn. How's your training camp been going?
Oh, man, it's been great, man. It's been great. Feeling good. Team's coming together, man.
What excited you most about coming to Washington?
The people here. People here, the style of defense that these coaches have coached, the knowledge and everything.
You mentioned the style. You're a guy that's versatile, can play a bunch of different ways. What are you looking to? What are you most excited? I don't want you to give away the X's and O's, but like, yeah, what kind of roles could we see you in this year?
You know, you just got to stay tuned, I guess. But like I said, man, I'm feeling good. Body's feeling great. Defense is coming along well, so I'm super excited, man. This defense is a run and hit style, so as long as everybody's on the same page and we all are communicating well and we're all playing fast, and yeah, we're going to be special on that side of the ball.
You mentioned the people here. Coach Quinn obviously brings in a lot of cachet, and people love being around him. Coach Joe Witt, what's it been like working with those guys?
It's been great, man. The communication has been great. Just being able to, you know, talk to each other. We talk to Joe talk to me, and I really feel like we're getting on the same page with everything.
Bobby Wagner coming over, a Hall of Famer in the future. What's it like being on a defense with him and just picking his brain and finding pearls of wisdom from him?
Yeah, man, it's great. Really just being able to be around him on the football field, but also, you know, in the weight room and in the meeting rooms, just kind of see how he carries himself and how seriously and I guess how he goes about his business, man. It's great to be around.
I think a lot of fans are excited about you and then also Frankie Louvu coming over from Carolina and what you guys bring in terms of versatility. Can you talk to what kind of player Frankie is? Because I think a lot of people are excited about that signing, but they maybe haven't been able to watch him as much. What can they expect when Frankie Louvu takes the field?
Oh, man. you asked me about Frankie Louvu. I'm going to tell you, he's one of the greats to ever do it. But, you know, he's my brother, man. I love playing with him. I love watching him play. He plays at one speed, man, and I think he'll fit perfectly in this defense.
One more for you. We got to ask about the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. What have been your impressions of the rookie?
Man, he can throw the rock, man. He's poised back there. He's calm. I know on the defensive side of the ball, we try to show him different looks and try to, you know, he's trying to play around with him a little bit, but he handles everything really well. He's got a great deep ball, and he's super competitive.
I love that he talked about the run and hit style of defense. I'm excited for Jeremy Chinn. I think he's going to be a really good player for this team, and they're going to use him in a variety of ways. I was just interested to see if maybe he would tell us some different things that he would do, and he's like, you're going to have to tune in and see. Because I think you're going to see him all over the place. I think you're going to see him blitzing off the edge. I think you're going to see him as maybe a deeper safety. I think you're going to see him in the box as like a nickel-style linebacker. And just from seeing him in terms of like a size, he's not big enough to be like a true linebacker, Donald, but he's close. So he's a big dude. And the other thing that, you know, I was out there, Grant Paulson was near me. I told Grant, you got to look at this dude's neck. He's got... You know how like Kawhi Leonard has the what is this the lats, is that
yeah,
the lats?
Like the traps or yeah right in your neck
yeah. You know how they got those crazy, he almost has like a neck that just like is so, you seen that picture of that guy where the people were making fun of how wide his neck was?
it was almost
like that sort of thing where it's just like it goes head to shoulders, like it's not that he doesn't have a neck, it's that it's so built. And I think it obviously works out well for a football player, so you can kind of hold your head in position while you're getting hit. But I think he's going to be a fantastic addition for this team. And I think you hear, like, he's one of those guys, I think, along with a Bobby Wagner and some of the guys on the coaching staff, that is here because of a Dan Quinn. I think he wanted to work with these guys and be able to be on the team. And I think it's cool, too, hearing these guys. You can ask anybody, offense or defense. When they're talking about Bobby Wagner, they're so fired up that he's a part of this football team. And it's funny because he just looks like the old man that's still playing, but he's almost like a coach. And everyone else is out there generally in their shorts, and maybe they're wearing long. Bobby Wagner's out there in like sweatpants and a hoodie and looks like a dude. Like, he just looks like, all right, another training camp. We're going through it again. But I love the leadership that he has shown. And he's a future Hall of Famer. But I love the leadership he's shown for the guys on the defensive side of the ball. But the coolest thing that I've seen, and you see pictures of it on social media, is he's always talking to Jaden. And Jaden's always talking to him. And I don't think Bobby is someone that is going to purposely seek out Jaden. I think that was something where Jaden went out of his way to seek out Bobby to try and get those pearls of wisdom and get better. So I think that's really cool. Final hour of overtime coming up. I want to do a little buy or sell around the National Football League. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.